The gospel for all saints, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. For years, the Hartford Insurance Company supplied calendars with Curry and Ives prints of New England scenes, corresponding the months to the stages of life, from infancy in January to old age in December. The Solomonic trilogy does the same thing. The Song of Solomon was written in April, when a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of love. Proverbs was written in August, by a self-possessed, middle-aged man convinced that his success came from following life's rules. Ecclesiastes was written in November, when barren fields and trees were reminders that in old age, the divisions between social strata created by wealth and poverty, success and failure, vaporizes. To make matters worse, the boundaries between man and beast become so fuzzy that perhaps both face the same destiny, a kind of reverse Darwinianism. The gospel for all saints, blessed are the poor in spirit, is a replay of Ecclesiastes. As the first commentator on these words, Luke eliminated in spirit and gave them a financial twist. Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph, Simeon, are all people of meager means. Monetary poverty can be addressed, seen, and helped. Matthew's poor in spirit is the more Lutheran. It cannot be helped by moral self-improvement. The poor in spirit see no worth in themselves, but have no choice but to recklessly throw themselves onto the mercy of God. At life's last moment, like Solomon, the poor in spirit commit themselves to God. Jesus is the full embodiment of the poor in spirit. By his baptism, he put aside his godness and entrusted himself to God. Because of the poverty of our sin, he pleaded to God for help, and all he heard was Adam's curse, "You are dust, and to dust shall you return." As a despairing Solomon, Jesus thrust himself into God's hand. Autumn's gray days spell out the despair of every human being, believer or not. Our souls are like the muddy mixture of the feet of Daniel's statue. Purity is infected by moral impurity, and poverty of spirit is eroded by the desire to be like the world. But the dullness of our depression in these November days is broken by a heavenly light reflecting off the robes of men and women made white by Christ's blood. They march through heaven chanting, "Victory to our God and to the Lamb who sits upon the throne." The open-ended endings of the Beatitudes have been satisfied. Thirst has been quenched by living waters. Hunger has been satisfied by Christ, who is the sacramental fruit of the tree of life. Sorrow is turned into laughter. Peacemakers take charge of the earth. Souls made empty by sin are filled by Christ himself. They claim the kingdom of heavens as their own, and the kingdom is nothing else than Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and his righteousness. They finally see God in Jesus and are at home. Fascination with icons has steered some brothers up through the Bosporus. But saints cannot be contained in static icons. But saints form a kaleidoscope of ever-changing, multicolored stained glass windows, each with a different level of transparency. God is no equal opportunity employer when he comes to saints. Christ is more clearly seen in those whom he draws closer into his suffering. They live as martyrs and some die that way. In their rejection by the world, we begin to understand what blessed are the poor in spirit means. Then we hear Christ's words that he is meek and lowly in heart. And onto our horizon emerges the poor man, the one who, though he was rich, became poor in spirit. Lutherans like to say a lot about justification by faith. This also applies to Christ. Finding no hope of rescue, he put all his faith in God. God saw the faith of that man who was poor in spirit and pure in heart and raised him from the dead. Skies of late fall are markers on the road to mortality. Impoverished lives of the saints are markers on the road to life.